you this morning, and that's why I'm not afraid to share this, amen. And I believe if we really want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, we got to get in this book, amen. We got to get in this book and realize, what does God's word have to say? Because I want to make sure my life lines up with this, so I'm in position for God to do the miraculous, amen. Praise the Lord. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3. I am going to share a lot of scriptures here this morning, so I encourage you to take notes, write them down. You can look them up later. There'll be a few of them that are going to be up on the screen, then there's going to be some that are not going to be on the screen that you'll just have to write down for future reference. I'm going to open up in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Let's pray here this morning. Father, we thank you for all that you've already been doing here within the service. We know that you've already been pouring out your spirit, touching hearts, touching lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to do that, Lord. I pray that you would breathe life into these words that are spoken here this morning, and that you would touch each and every one of our hearts in this area of giving, Lord, that we would continue to position ourselves in your presence and according to your word, and allow you to do the miraculous within our lives. We just thank you. We ask that you just speak to us here this morning. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. The tithe here this morning, what is the tithe? I might share some things that some of you may already know, but there's a lot of new people here this morning, amen? So I'm just going to be very simple here this morning. The tithe simply means 10%. That's what tithe means. It means a tenth. That's the name, the word tithe means a tenth, amen? A tenth of your income, a tenth of your wealth. Here, Proverbs 3, verse 9, talks about honor. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit. Somebody say, first fruits. The first fruits of all your crops. Amen. Now, in that season, that time, it was an agricultural society. So all their wealth, all their income came from the land. It's different here today. We're not out growing crops and raising cattle. You know, there might be some here this morning, but the most of us, amen, go to work and get a paycheck. But regardless, he says, honor the Lord with your first fruits, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim with new wine. Keep that scripture in mind as we go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. The Bible says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. And so the Israelites, the people of God, the people representing the kingdom of God on the earth, God established the tithe. He says a tenth or a tithe of everything from the land, of everything that the land produces, basically of the income that's coming in. It says here very clearly within the scripture that it belongs to the Lord. It is considered holy unto the Lord. This is the tithe, the 10%. And there's four things, basically, I've just got 4 points here this morning. There are four reasons for the tithe, four purposes. Why should I tithe here this morning? Because if you're like me, I got like a teacher mindset, and just if somebody just tells me, well, give 10%, you know, that's not good enough for me. Just be obedient to God. Well, why? Why? What is the purpose of the tithe? I believe that many of us are confused, and even those that are faithful givers, you might give faithfully of your tithes, but you don't really know why you're giving your tithes. And I believe it's very important that we know the why, the purpose. Why is the tithe established within Scripture from the beginning of the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament? Why is it so important? And I just got four simple points here to share why we pay tithes, why we set aside 10% of our income and we give it to the Lord, not to the church, not to the ministry, but we give it to the Lord. Four purposes of the tithe. Number one, the first purpose of the tithe is to honor the Lord and acknowledge His sovereignty and His rule. To honor the Lord and to acknowledge His sovereignty and His rule. That He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. And God established a tithe that we should give Him that honor and that glory. Amen? Just as governors and kings of the earth get honor and get wealth and get glory. Even in the Old Testament, when David was the king and when Solomon was the king, the queen, you know, the queen from the south came and paid him honor and gave him lots of wealth. It didn't really make a lot of sense, right? Because Solomon was one of the richest men on earth. Why is she going to give him more wealth? Why? Because she was giving him honor. Give honor where honor is due, the Bible says, amen? So the tithe, when we set aside 10% of our income, it gives honor to God. And we're acknowledging that, God, you are sovereign. You are the king. You are the one in control. And I'm just going to share a quick stories from the scriptures that ain't going to be on the screen, but you can write them down. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, way in the beginning of the Garden of Eden, before sin was involved, before the fall of man came, God told Adam and Eve, He said, you can eat of any tree in the garden. Everything is yours to eat. He says, but there's one tree in the middle of the garden that belongs to the Lord. Don't touch it. Don't eat from that tree. Even in the beginning, why did God put that tree there? Because God was establishing God, you know, His rule and His dominion. He was the one in charge. And Adam and Eve were supposed to leave that tree alone and to give honor to God. That's God's tree right there. That was Adam and Eve's 10%. The 10% of the garden belonged to the Lord. But we know that they failed in that. They wanted the one thing that they couldn't have. Now they could have acres and acres and acres of trees and fruit and everything they wanted, but you know, it's the one thing that they couldn't have that belonged to the Lord. That's what they wanted to get. How many know when you tell a child you can't do that? That's exactly when they want to do that. So the secret is don't tell them they can't do that. The minute you tell them, hey, don't touch that stove, it's hot. Ooh, let me try it, right? The same thing in Genesis chapter 4. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. I believe that we got that one. Yeah, this is the story of Cain and Abel. It says there in verse 2, it says, later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn. Somebody say firstborn. Firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Hey, that don't seem fair, right? It's like God has favoritism. But he doesn't. Verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Basically, God's telling Cain, you know what's right. Obviously, according to this scripture right here, There was a specific way. They understood that the offerings brought to the Lord were to be brought to the Lord a certain way, that they couldn't just bring any offering, just any little thing unto the Lord. It establishes two things that God wants our first. Somebody say first. The first, the firstborn. In the area of the tithe would be the first 10%, which is off the top. And the second, not only does God want the first, but he wants the best. He doesn't want the diseased, the crippled animals, sacrifices. He wants the best. God doesn't want the leftovers. Somebody say amen. You see, Abel gave to God his very firstborn and his best. And that's why his offering was accepted. But Cain, the Bible says, go back to the first one, like verse 4. It says in verse 3, it says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil. It doesn't say he brought the first. It doesn't say he brought the best. He just brought some. He just brought some of the leftovers. You see, God wants to be honored as the king. And he wants the first. Any king should get the first and should get the best. But sometimes God only gets our leftovers. See, what does that mean on a practical level? Because I'm here to teach. I'm here to get practical here this morning. Are you with me? Practically speaking, what that says is when I get paid, when I get my check, 10%, my first check I write is to the Lord. Before I pay my rent, before I pay my car, before I pay my electric bill, the Lord gets paid. Why? Because I want to honor him. The way I do it, the Lord even gets paid before the government. Right? Because I know the government takes out your taxes. The government don't even trust you with their percent. They just take it. What if God were to operate like that, right? Maybe that's what the Lord should do, right? Act like the government. Just take it. And some of you get mad, right? Oh, man. You know, we get mad. Man, look at how much money they took out my check. And then you get mad at all the potholes in the road, right? And you get mad at all the services of the city that ain't being done for you, right? Because that's what them taxes pay for, all them luxuries that we have in this nation. We want the blessings, but we don't want the sacrifice. God wants our first. He wants our best. And he deserves it. He's the king. Even moving on in a story in the book of Joshua, chapter 6, as the Israelites were entering into the promised land, out of the wilderness, out of slavery, they were entering into the promised land for the very first time. God says, this is your land. I'm giving it to you. But he gave clear instructions. He says, but, and Pastor preached about this, the first city that you take belongs to the Lord. The first and the best belongs to the Lord. The first city was Jericho. He says everything in that city is to be devoted to the Lord. You are to keep nothing for yourself. But we know the story of Achan, right? He wanted to take that tithe away from God. That city was considered a tithe. And he wanted that. And what happened as a result? Pastor preached about it last week. Destruction, death came upon his whole family. In Deuteronomy 14, 22 and 23, the Bible says, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. Somebody say always. So I have here to withhold the tithe. Because the tithe gives honor to God and acknowledges his sovereignty, if we withhold the tithe, what we're doing is we're declaring ourselves sovereign and that we are the king and we are the king of our life and the king of our finances. We are saying to God, you are not sovereign, I am. You are not in control, I am. These finances are not yours, they are mine, right? You see, the Bible's, many of us here this morning have an owner's mentality. We believe what we have is ours. We are owners. But if you read the Bible is very clear that we are not owners of anything. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That means it belongs to the Lord. But many of us have that ownership mentality that it belongs to us. The Bible does not say that we are owners. The Bible says we are stewards. We are simply stewards and managers of what God owns. So what we have, we simply, he has entrusted to us to be a manager, a steward of what he has given us. So it's not that we're giving God money that belongs to us. We're giving back money that already belongs to him anyhow. You know, it's always easier to give away money that ain't yours. Has anybody done that? Has anybody ever given you a credit card to go shopping with? Oh, I love when they do that for me. I say, oh, give me that card. It's a little different, right? You're like, oh, yeah, let me get, oh, I don't care how much it costs. Yeah, let me get that. You're much more liberal in your spending and your giving. Why? It ain't yours anyhow. You don't got to pay the bill. But we are simply stewards, not owners. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, 10 through 14, the Bible says, now this is Jesus speaking. He says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. We say, when I win the lottery, God, I'm going to tithe. When I get that better paying job, then I'm going to tithe. But God says, if you can't be trusted with the little, with the minimum paying job, if you can't be trusted with just paying tithes off Social Security, why is God going to give a job? Verse 11. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? See, true riches ain't worldly wealth, ain't money, ain't possessions. God wants to entrust us as his people with true riches, those spiritual riches. But in order for him to entrust us with real riches, those spiritual riches, he gives us a test. He gives us worldly wealth and see what we're going to do with it. Because if we squander worldly wealth, we will squander spiritual wealth. It says in verse 12, and if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Remember, we're not owners. If we're not trustworthy with God's finances and God's resources that he gives us with, why is God going to give us anything of our own? Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. God cannot be sovereign, and you cannot be sovereign at the same time. Money cannot be sovereign. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. They're the leaders of the day. And it says very clearly that they loved money. We can't serve two masters, amen? Many of us, you know, quote that scripture when we can't serve God and the devil at the same time. Well, actually, the Bible is talking about God and money. Do you know the Bible talks more about money than it does about heaven or hell combined? It talks more about money than almost anything else. Why? Why does it do that? Why? Because money is such a problem for humanity. And this is That's why God established the tithe. Can we be trusted with the 10%? See, because 10% ain't really all that much. But many of us think, wow, man, I cannot. This is too much. Are we willing to honor the Lord and acknowledge his sovereignty and his rule? Or do we want to eat from that one tree? Do we want to take from that first city and say, no, this is mine, right? And give God just a dollar here and a dollar there and a plate and, you know, God accepts my offering. And then we wonder why we have trouble and we wonder why we're walking around like Cain and our face is downcast. And God is saying all along, if you do what is right, won't you be accepted? If you give me your first and you give me your best, God says, I'll give you my first and I'll give you my best. You see, God, when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, he didn't send like a servant. He didn't send like a second class son. He sent his one and only son. He sent his first and his best. And how many thank God that he sent his first and he sent his best? Because without Jesus Christ, ain't one of us would be here this morning. We would be dead. We would have no hope. But because, and that's what Christmas is all about, it's about God sending his first and sending his best, giving us that gift. And he asks us to imitate him. You see, the tithe is really a matter of honor. Honoring the Lord, acknowledging that he is our Lord. Let's go to the book of Malachi, chapter 1. It'll be on the screen here. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where's the honor due me? How many know God is our father? This is God speaking here. If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defied you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? You know what he's saying there? He's saying, if you gave the government what you gave God, would the IRS be okay with that? Man, someone was at the IRS at our door, right? Now, implore God to be gracious to us. With self offerings from your hands, will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Oh, that one of you would shut the temple's door so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offerings from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. See, what is God concerned with? He's concerned with his name, that he is the king, that he is sovereign. And when we offer God the leftovers like they were doing, basically the disease and the cripples, anything that they didn't want, just kind of like the leftovers, they were dishonoring God's name rather than giving God honor and glory. Rather than being a light to the nations of the world, that this is the King of Kings, because every king deserves tribute. Skip over to chapter 3, verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. That's a good promise right there for anyone that might be struggling in this area. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. bring the whole tithe. Somebody say whole tithe. See, they were still bringing something, still bringing offerings, but not the whole thing. Into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. He says, basically, God's saying, you're robbing me of the glory due my name by withholding the tithe. And he's saying, you're living under a closed heaven. Some of us are living under a closed heaven here this morning because we're not faithful in giving God what belongs to him. But we want the blessings of God. We come to the altar and say, God, I want you to save my family. And God, some of us have the courage, the audacity to even pray for finances when we're robbing God of the tithe. Now I can see praying for a loved one and praying for this, but some of us even pray, God, bless me with finances, when we haven't been trustworthy in the little that he has given us. Second Corinthians 8:19 says, what is more, now this is Paul speaking, him and his disciple. He's talking about his disciple here. He says, what is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. They were taking their gifts to Jerusalem. But he says, well, the part I want to focus on is we administer this gift, this offering, in order to honor the Lord. When we give our tithe, it brings honor to the Lord. It belongs to God. And this is where I make a distinction. The tithe, the first 10%, the first and the best, it belongs to the Lord. It is a matter of honor. Tithing is a matter of honor. Love offerings, basically what that means is anything beyond the tithe. First, we give that 10% off the top. Then, if there's any other cause that we want to give to, whether it's a pledge in the church, a love offering, or we want to help a brother or a sister that's in need within the church, or we want to give a gift to the men's home or to the women's home, or you know anything like that, somebody's car breaks down, you want to buy them a new car, whatever the case may be, those are considered love offerings, right? Which is beyond the 10%, above the 10%. And offerings, where tithing is a matter of honor, offerings is a matter of love. Tithing is not a matter of love. It's a matter of honor. Are you willing to honor the king? Love offerings, that's why we call them love offerings, is really a matter of love. And I think I'm going to teach about that in another session. But when we go beyond the tithe, that's what shows and proves how much we really love. Because how many know somebody that says they love you but don't do nothing to back it up? How many ever? I know I had that growing up, right? A lot of us had that growing up in our upbringings. I love you, I love you, I love you, right? But there was no action behind it. See, true love, you know, the Bible says, let us not love in words and in tongue, but with works, with action and in truth, right? Let us love with action. So the tithe belongs to the Lord. Free will offerings are completely voluntary, and as God moves in our hearts, you know, the love of God stirs us to give even beyond, above and beyond, because we want to be of help, amen? So the first reason for the tithe, to honor the Lord and acknowledge his sovereignty and rule. Is Jesus your king this morning? Nobody can say Jesus is my Lord and not pay tithes. It's like a contradiction. You're saying, Jesus, you're my Lord, but not my finances, right? The second reason for the tithe. The second reason for the tithe is to declare God as our source and our provider. To declare God as our source and our provider. That our trust is in God. That our source is not our boss, that is not our job, that is not the check coming in. Because how many know that that job could be gone tomorrow? That is not your source. That's not what pays your bills. And that's why people, you know, they have a career all their lives, and then they lose their job and they go out and commit suicide because, you know, they have no source left, because that was their source. But when we give to God our tithe, we're declaring, God, you are my source. You are the one that provides for me. You are Jehovah Jireh. And God tested Abraham in this very area, Genesis chapter 22. He says, Abraham, you know, Abraham was a man of faith. He says, Abraham, but I'm going to test you. I want you first and I want your best. I want Isaac. I want you to sacrifice your only son and your best son, the son of the promise. Sacrifice him. Abraham didn't question God. He didn't say, but God, this is my son that you gave me. It was a miracle. No, it says Abraham got ready. He went up to the mountain of the Lord, and he was getting ready to sacrifice his son. And he was going to do it, and then God stepped in and provided a lamb. And then he called that place Jehovah Jireh. It says the Lord will provide. Because the whole time, Abraham knew that his source was God, that God was his provider. Is God your provider here this morning? Is he your source? There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 17 about the prophet Elijah. And God sent him to a widow in Zarephath. A widow there that was there with their son, that she said, it was so poor, such a, you know, the economy just collapsed. There was no work, no money, no food. And so this poor widow with their son was just going to eat her last meal and die. And then Elijah showed up on the scene and he told the woman, first give me something to eat and then watch God do a miracle. She only had one meal. She's going to give up her only meal to this prophet. But when she was willing to give that to the man of God, God did a miracle. Not only provided that they didn't have to die, right, but gave them wealth to even spread to others. But it first had to be given to the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, somebody say all. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. See, we're acknowledging God as our source when we pay tithes, 10%. We're acknowledging, God, you're my source. You're my provider. I'm acknowledging you. So I pray as I acknowledge you by giving you my 10% that you will direct my every path, that you will make a way for all these bills to be paid. Some of us are trying to work it out. I'm going to pay this bill. I'm going to pay that bill. I'm going to pay that. Okay, what do I got left over to give to God? See, we're trying to work it out. You're trying to provide for yourself. God asks us just to do the possible, the 10%, and he will do the impossible. Amen? Even in Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Right before this, the passage is talking about food, clothing, and basic necessities. If we seek God's kingdom first and put him first and give him our first and give him our best, everything else will be given to us as well. That's a heavy promise right there. But do we really believe that promise? Because the scriptures right before this, Jesus is talking about, why are you worrying about what you're going to eat? Why are you worrying about what you're going to wear? Why are you worrying about where you're going to live? How are you going to pay your rent? How are you going to pay your... Why are you worrying about those things? Jesus says, worrying don't add a single hour to your life. Trust in God. Trust in God. See, it's a matter of trust. It's really a matter of trust. Do you trust God to provide? Or you say, no, I got to make it happen myself. Do you believe that God is able to provide for your needs? Do you believe that God has the resources to provide for your needs? You see, it's one thing if somebody comes up to you and this person doesn't have a job, you know, right? Their clothes are kind of raggedy. They've been living on the streets. They have no place to stay. And they tell you, don't worry, I got your back. I'll provide for you. You know, you might start to question. I don't know, man, what you got? But God owns the earth, a cattle on 1,000 hills, right? I believe that he has a resource to provide for us. If he has all the riches of heaven, all the riches of earth, even he says within his word that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. That God, if you trust in him, he will take the wealth of the wicked, take it out of their hands and give it to you. Because you trust in him. You see, the wicked, meaning those that don't serve God, because there's a lot of rich people that don't serve God. They are wealthy, but they don't serve God. God is able to take that wealth from them. Say, give me that. Because they ain't owners either. They're stewards. They're managers. And God says, you ain't a good manager. Let me take that from you and give it to one that's going to manage it properly. And there's a parable about that in Scripture too. The parable of the shrewd manager, where he got fired because he wasn't a good manager. And he took it and gave it to somebody else. So is God our source? Let God be your source. Trust in God. If you read the scriptures, especially the New Testament, especially Jesus, he will say, trust in God, trust also in me. Trust me. Are you willing to trust God? So the first one is to honor God. The second one is declare God as our source. The third reason for the tithe is to provide for the work of the ministry. It's to provide for the work of God. Go in the book of Haggai, chapter 1. Here, the people of God were in captivity. They're coming back to their land of promise, but the temple has been destroyed. There's no temple. There's no church. There's no work of God. Because they began building their houses, and they left the temple of God in ruins and destruction because they were concerned with their little house. Concerned with what they were doing. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only put them in a purse with holes in it. How many know? Sometimes that can describe some of us right there. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. This speaks of the priority of God's house, the priority of the ministry. The people were busy building their houses, building their 401ks, and the house of God was being neglected. Even in the story after the temple was built and the walls went up and Nehemiah, the prophet, was on the scene, he was offered a governor. In Nehemiah chapter 13, he established everything. Then he went back to where he was from, and then he came back again. And the Bible says that they were neglecting the tithe again. And it says very clearly, why are you neglecting God's house? You see, Even in Malachi chapter 3, verse 9 through 10, let's go there. I want to show you something. It says, this is members speaking about the tithe. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. But verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that. The word that is very important. Most people skip that word. The word that means the reason for, the purpose of. This is why. It's the why. That there may be food in my house. That there may be food in the house of the Lord to provide for those in need. To provide for the work of the ministry. You see, the work of the ministry has not stopped. The work of the ministry, God has always been ministering. He was ministering in the Old Testament, in the temple, and he's ministering in the New Testament in this day and age today through the church of God. How many believe that the church should be a place of ministry? How many believe that the church should be a place where the needy can come, right, and be provided for? How many believe that the church should be a place for the widow, the orphan, the fatherless to come and have a place of refuge and have a place, you know, even to live, and even their food should be provided for, their clothes should be provided for? This is why we have houses of refuge, the men's home and the women's home, because we believe the house of God should be a house of ministry, right? We believe in ministering to the lost and to the broken and to those that have nothing. But let me ask you a question. How can we minister and provide for these people if the storehouse is empty? If we, when we withhold our tithes and our offerings from God, what happens is the church is broke. The church is poor. That no longer can it be a place of ministry. The homes have to shut down. The church has to shut down. No longer can we go and pick up somebody that needs to ride the church because we can't afford the gas. Well, you think gas is free? I know it's cheap right now, but it ain't free. But many times we have the mentality that the church should be the one providing for all these needs. How many see needs that are going unmet in this church? Raise your hand. Come on, don't lie. I'm raising my hand. There are a lot of needs that are going unmet in this church. Why is that so? It's the church's fault, right? Well, when you say that, do you realize that you are the church? I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about what the Bible says. The Bible says we are the church of God. The church is not an institution. The church is a people. You and I, we are the church of God. So when you say the church ain't meeting those needs, what you're saying is I ain't meeting those needs. You have to include yourself unless you're not part of the church, which means you're not a part of Jesus, which means you're not saved. You need Jesus. The church is supposed to be a place of ministry, just as the temple was in the Old Testament. This is what the tithe does. Even in the Old Testament, the tithe was used to minister to those that would come. This is, the tithe hasn't changed from then until now. Because ministry still needs to happen. But in order to minister, in order to provide food, in order to provide shelter, in order to provide this beautiful building, how many know it takes finances? How many know this building, right, isn't free? I mean, is your house free? Is your car free? Right? But sometimes we're willing to provide for our own house, our own paneled houses, while the house of God remains in ruins, meaning the storehouses is empty. Amen? See, God never intended that it would be a business such as the school to provide for the work of the ministry. Is that a blessing? Yes, it is. But he always intended in his word that it comes to his people through tithes and offerings. You see, the finances that we get from the school should be used above and beyond the needs to reach out into the city, into the lost and the bound, to evangelize not only this city, but Racine and all over Wisconsin, all over the world. That's what those should be used for, right? Because some are withholding the tithe. The storehouses are empty. I don't know about you, but I want the storehouses of God to be full. That way, anybody that comes will have a place. Anybody that comes in need will say, hey, we can help you out. Hey, are you struggling right now? You know, maybe you can't even pay your light bill. Hey, maybe we can help you out, because that's the purpose, to help those in need. Number four, the fourth reason for the tithe scripturally is to provide for full-time ministers. In Numbers chapter 18, 21 to 29, it speaks of the Levites. The Levites didn't have an inheritance. They were considered the priests of God. And God told them, the tithe, that's your inheritance. You live off the tithe. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 9:13 through 14, the Apostle Paul says those that preach the gospel should live off the gospel, make their living from the gospel. He also says in another scripture in Romans chapter 15, he was talking about the Jews, the spiritual Jews. He's saying, if you have partaken of their spiritual blessings, you owe it to them to give them material blessings. That's what he's saying. But the tithe, the fourth reason of the tithe is to provide for the ministers of God that are full-time. They should make their living from the gospel. In our case, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene should make their living from the gospel, meaning they should get paid for what they do. This is biblical. Old Testament and New Testament. It's biblical. As a matter of fact, when Nehemiah came back to the people and they were not paying their tithes, it says that they weren't paying their tithes and they weren't giving the Levites what they deserved. And so what happened was the Levites couldn't afford to do ministry, so the Levites had to go out and get a real job. And the Levites were out working secular jobs when God called them to be priests. And Nehemiah had to come and he had to rebuke them. He says, why are you allowing the Levites to go out and work? They're supposed to give themselves full time to ministry, to counseling, to helping people, to be an intercessor, to give on behalf of the people. But their allotment is being withheld. Now, we know within the day and age we live in, there are some pastors and ministers that take advantage of the tithe, right? That they live above and beyond, and they squander the wealth, and they squander the tithe of God. But we know that this is not the case in our church. This is not the case with Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene. Amen? It's not the case. They live very simple lives, in case you don't know, right? Just look at the car they drive, the clothes they wear, the same clothes year after year. I feel bad. I want to buy them some new clothes or something. Right. Never going on vacation, which they should be able to do. We don't have that excuse in this church. Amen. Don't worry about what other churches. If you're a part of this church, we don't have that excuse. Because how many want to see our pastors blessed? Well, they should be blessed for the work that they do. Right? Because I know that everything that they get, man, they pour right back into the ministry. They never keep nothing for themselves. They don't have nothing in their name. They pour right back. But they deserve biblically an allotment. As I get ready to close, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Apostle Paul speaking. He says, now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. Basically, what he's saying is, I tell all the churches to do this, is what he's saying. On the first day of every week, which is what day? Sunday. The first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. What that means, it's got to be systematic according to what you make. 10%. Saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Each week, setting aside that tenth, giving God. You see, all of these purposes of the tithe, now I didn't even speak about love offerings. That would be for another session. But this is simply the tithe, the first 10%. Those four things. It honors the Lord and declares his sovereignty and his rule. It declares God as our source and our provider. It provides for the work of the ministry. And it provides for full-time ministers. Now, is there any of those purposes that are not valid today? If those purposes are not valid today, then I would say we don't need to tithe. But do those purposes stand? Does God still want honor? Does God still deserve honor? Is he still a king? Does he still rule? Is he still sovereign? Is God still our source? Or was that only Old Testament stuff? Is he still our provider? Or was that only in the days of Abraham? Is there still work to be done in the ministry? Is there still needs to be provided for? What about ministers? Do they still need to make a living? Do they need to eat? Do they need to have shelter? Then the tithe still stands today. Because those purposes still stand today. So what happens is when we fail to give God the tithe, the worship team can make their way. When we fail to give God the tithe, we do the following. We rob God of the honor that's due his name. Number two, we rob the ministers of God of their allotment. We're actually robbing Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene. Number three, when we fail to give the tithe, we rob ourselves of the blessings of God because we're living under a closed heaven. It's one thing to rob somebody else, but to rob yourself, that's crazy. And finally, we rob the lost and the bound and the needy because God's storehouse is empty. It's empty. You see, we cannot say Jesus is the Lord and Master of our lives and divorce him from our finances. Either he is the Lord of all or he's the Lord of none. Either he's the Lord of all your life, which includes your finances, or he's not your Lord at all. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to be the Lord of all my life. Not only my family, my ministry, but even my finances. That ain't even mine. They're God's anyhow. These purposes are still true today. And I believe God is even stirring some of our hearts and saying, wow, you know what? That's me. I've been living in my paneled house and some of us have to be real practical and make some adjustments within the way we live. Because if you say that you cannot pay 10% and live, what that tells me is that you're living beyond your means. And so you might have to get practical. I've done this many times, and so I could speak about this. You might have to make some cuts in order to be faithful to God. Do I really need cable television? Fancy smartphones? Do I really need the car I have? Right? Now, if you could pay your tithes and have the blessings of God, that's all good. But if our bills are getting in the way of giving God honor, all of us can make adjustments to cut back those bills. I've done it myself many times. Cut back those bills. I've always been faithful in the tithe. always. And even above that, I had to cut back some of the bills and maybe not live with some of the same luxuries as maybe the next person. I said, I want to live under an open heaven. And I know even God's been blessing me personally in the area of tithes and offerings. You know, just a couple weeks ago, I paid off my car. Right? Praise the Lord. Not only that, but, you know, as of right now, me and my wife are completely 100% debt-free. We owe nothing. We owe nothing, right? And we had, you know, like $20,000 of school loans, another $20,000 of debt. Our car was about $30,000. You add all that up. I said, God, I can't pay all this. But through all the pain of the bills and cutting back, the tithe always remained the same in our life. We always just, that's the tithe, right? And God's been providing every step of the way. So I'm here to tell you it works. And so there might be some here this day saying, wow, you know, I haven't been faithful. I haven't realized that that's what the tithe is for. I thought the tithe was just part of the law and just give your tithe and just be obedient. Well, that's not good enough. This is the reason for the tithe.